All right, guys, Seth and Tony back for what is now episode 6 of our Local Legends series. You know, we've had a really good run of guys, and we've got another one for you today.
Seth, today we have got another local legend that maybe isn't as well known as he should be. He's also one of our older prospects that we have. Packers, AJ Packer has been our oldest one. But today we will have Andre Yates, a former Trotwood Madison and Dunbar High School alum. Also went on to have a nice college career playing at the D1 level with Creighton and Cleveland State, and then finishing his career at the NAIA level at Benedictine College. So we're going to talk to Andre today just about his first couple years at Trotwood, joining a Dunbar team that is arguably one of the greatest local teams that's ever gone through Dayton, as well as just his experience playing at Creighton, Cleveland State, and then ultimately Benedictine, and then talking about his professional career that he's had since graduating. So with that being said, let's jump on in.
All right, guys, so we've got with us today former Trotwood Madison Ram and Dayton Dunbar Wolverine, Andre Yates, with us. Andre, as I just said, played his first 3 years of high school at Trotwood, made the move to Dunbar, and had, you know, was part of one of arguably the greatest high school teams to come out of the Dayton area, and then made his transition to the collegiate level, playing at Creighton, as well as Cleveland State, before ultimately wrapping his collegiate career up at Benedictine College. So, Andre, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Andre, like Seth said, obviously you started off your career with Trotwood Madison. Why don't you, just to get us started, talk a little bit about those first 3 years with Trotwood, the successes you came across, and kind of the recruiting process at an early age as a freshman through junior.
Well, coming out of middle school, I attended Fairview Middle School for 2 years, and I had always attended Mark Baker camps coming up. So when he had got the job, I know my mom, she was confident about him bringing me up, just, you know, as a man and as a player. And he was just somebody I always looked up to, just as far as, you know, somebody that just had all those check marks boxed off, all those check marks in the boxes as far as his career. He played, you know, collegiately and in the NBA. So it was always somebody I looked up to. So going there, it was kind of easy for me within my development just to follow his lead. We had a lot of good guards my freshman and sophomore year, actually. In my junior year, I was kind of able to take over the reins and kind of control the team and show what I could do.
Absolutely, and after that, having those great 3 years at Trotwood, you ultimately transferred to Dunbar your senior year. Talk to us a little bit about what went into that decision to make that transfer.
That was always really wanted to go to Dunbar at heart. My mother and sister both were graduates, so, you know, I grew up going to Dunbar games in the Cook era. So, you know, part of me always wanted to play at Dunbar. When my senior year came, I had the opportunity to transfer after Coach Beck had stepped away from Trotwood. So everything kind of, you know, worked out smoothly. I've been playing AAU with Gary and Teddy for quite some time. So, you know, we had the chemistry, and we all had, you know, the vision of what we wanted to do with our careers and team-wise. So everything meshed well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on top of that, obviously having Damarian Jeter, who was a junior at the time, and then freshman A.J. Harris, you guys had arguably one of the best starting fives really to ever come through the Dayton area with that group you had. And ultimately, you guys went undefeated, really blew through everybody you faced, made it all the way to the state championship game. And in that state championship game, if you can remember back to it, you had a game-winning layup against Elida with 3 seconds left to win that game. If you can remember back to that time on the court, tell us a little bit about what it was like being at the Shot Scene Center and then ultimately hitting a game-winner to win a state championship.
mean, it definitely was a big moment for me at that time in my career. It was something that I'd always been an outside looking in and spectator. So when it came for my time to get out there, I definitely was excited, you know, to get up there and get the job done. It was a tough game. A lot of they scouted as well. They made it tough for us the whole game. And, you know, at the end of the game, they left opportunity out there, and I was able to capitalize on it. And it just definitely was a great opportunity to go up there and win. And just to beat a lone undefeated team at Dunbar, which got so much history and so many great players and coaches that go well back into the 80s, it just, you know, it just felt good for my name to be in that book and that history and that fraternity. So, you know, it'll always be there. So it definitely was a great opportunity for me.
No, certainly. So, I mean, you guys wrap up that season. Team finished ranked 12th nationally by Max Preps. And ultimately, I mean, all that history from high school fed into your recruitment. Talk a little bit about that recruitment process, what it was like, and what ultimately went into your decision to start your collegiate career at Creighton.
Ultimately, it really came down there to the end of Creighton, Nebraska, and Dayton were kind of the three that stood out that I kind of decided from. I felt comfortable with Darren DeVries. He was the coach who recruited me at the time, assistant coach at Creighton. He's at Drake now. I definitely was comfortable with him. He came down and sat with my family and, you know, everything that he had planned out for me at the time. It felt like the right thing to do. I got to Omaha with an upperclassman, a group that was very knowledgeable, taught me about the game, the business aspect. So I looked at that year as a year that I really got to learn. I got to win a lot of games, and I really got to see the right way to do it. A lot of guys that had a lot of success at that time and still having success now, I really got to sit and watch that first year. It was real good for me.
No, yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, anytime you can go to an elite school, and especially early on in your career, you know, work through that adjustment period and getting into the game. Talk a little bit then about your decision to head to Cleveland State after that first year. Just kind of what went into that, and then kind of what that 2013-2014 season was like, you know, having to take the red shirt due to the transfer.
So ultimately I decided to transfer. We parted ways, a month or two after the tournament. I had Cleveland State in mind at the beginning coming out of high school, but I think the timing was better the second time around, because, you know, guys had left me there too. So I came into a situation where, you know, I got to work with a lot of great players, got to play with a lot of great players my redshirt years. Just getting able to play against those guys, it made me better, made me a better guard, definitely made me a more hungry player, because it definitely was dog eat dog every day in that program, especially my first year. And, you know, Coach Waters, that's something that he did for a while there at Cleveland State, was to lead some nice backcourts. He always kept recruiting nice guards. And I definitely think that really weighed me, my decision and wanting to go to Cleveland State, because I always knew that was a guard school.
Absolutely, especially when you have a former Dunbar alumni, Norris Cole, also going to the program a couple years before you. You know, that school has definitely, as you said, done a great job with guards. And you had a really strong showing with Cleveland State, several big games, including 12 points in the Horizon League tournament against Detroit, 11 points and 3 rebounds against a Valpo team that is one of the better, you know, teams in the Horizon League when they were in the league. So you had a really good career there, and then ultimately you ended your collegiate career at Benedictine College. What went into that decision, picking that school after your time at Cleveland State?
So I had an issue as far as with my presented itself pretty late within that summer, and so I kind of joined the team late. But Coach Moody and everybody out there has been addicting. Everything out there was brand, just like my time at D1. Everything was professional all the time, and it made me better because it finally put me in that position to where, you know, I was the older guy with the experience and helped a lot of the young guys out. Just to look back on, you know, that year there that I had, and a lot of those underclassmen that came up under me were part of the team that was the number one team in the nation just a year ago. And for them to also have a guy from Dunbar here, you know, definitely was sweet for me to look back and see that, because I definitely poured a lot into those young guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, and certainly making, you know, having made a couple of moves, you know, ultimately that was the path that presented itself to you, and ultimately what you needed to do to get to where you are today. So take us then now, you know, you finish up your collegiate career there. Walk us through, you know, what you've been up to since then, and especially going into, you know, your professional time.
Tournaments is over with, you know, the agents come calling, and I was blessed enough to have a few agents, you know, that were interested in me for my time being at Cleveland State, that, you know, saw I was the same player, still had the same amount of talent. So a few agents worked with me. I ended up going and signing with one, and I had an opportunity my first year was in Spain playing the NBA. Definitely was a great experience for me. It was my experience as far as Europe goes, and that year allowed me to move into this year where I signed with a bigger agency, played in a bigger league, in a league in Portugal, and everything is moving forward as far as my professional career has gone, and you know, I couldn't be happier right now. Everything is on the up and up.
Certainly. I mean, so as far as, you know, we've talked to a lot of the guys who were wrapping up, you know, their collegiate careers during the, you know, the COVID situation that we've got going on. How has that really impacted? I mean, certainly that sort of ended the season right now. You know, where does that have you in terms of workouts and the types of things that you're trying to do right now, given the current situation?
Trying to keep it normal as possible as far as with it being an off season, just trying to work on as much agility and core strength as I can so far. It's definitely been a it's hard to get in the gyms or get shots up if you can at all. But that's the only thing that's been different. But I've definitely been trying to use the time to just work on my body and watch as much film as possible as I can. And, you know, I guess I'm just playing a waiting game along with everybody else for the time being.
Absolutely. Just hoping to get that call that sports are back. I know Seth and I definitely are hoping for that as well as, you know, spectators of the sport. And then last thing, Andre, I want to talk about, and then before we wrap up here, what advice would you offer or give to any high school prospects that are wanting to be like following your footsteps, play the college level, whether that be going the Division I route or they go NAIA or D3? What would you tell prospects they need to know if they want to take that big step?
I definitely would tell them to, you know, be honest with themselves. Definitely put the work in. The work is that's so much of it right there. Just putting the work in and being ready for the opportunity. Because the opportunities come, and when they do come, it shows what you've been doing. You know, in the meantime, everybody wants things to happen on their clock. But, you know, once you put the work in, you'll be ready no matter what, whenever that call comes, whether it's collegiately or professionally or even in high school. So that's why I kind of try to tell the guys that, you know, I'm around, you know. Always have that confidence, always put the work in, you know, stay pure to the game, and, you know, good things will always happen.
Yeah, that's great stuff, and hopefully any of our listeners right now that are high school athletes are taking that in, especially during this time with the COVID-19 where, you know, gyms may be closed, but you still got to put in the work somehow. So hopefully, yeah, hopefully people are listening to that and we'll take your advice, Andre. Definitely great advice there. So that's about all the time we have here for today. I know I speak for Seth and I when we say we appreciate you, you know, taking the time out of your schedule to talk with us, Andre. And we definitely wish you the best of luck as you hopefully waiting to hear that call when the basketball comes back. But once it does come back, we wish you luck with continued success with the team you're with.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Thank you again.
All right.
Yep. All right, guys. So that was our interview with Andre Yates. Again, a guy who has really taken the full journey, who's still right in the thick of things, and who's had, you know, an unconventional route in his own regard. You know, we've talked to guys who, you know, go to the first school that they're with straight out of high school, you know, play their way through until they're really value add coming later in their years. We've talked to kids who have come straight out and had immediate impacts. You know, we've talked to guys who have taken post-grad years or have bounced around with a couple of teams. And there are some main things that stick out amongst all the stories. So Tony, what would you take away from our conversation with Andre?
Well, for starters, his comment at the very end, you know, you got to put the work in. As I said at the very end, you know, especially during this time, you know, you got to be willing to put in those extra hours. You know, if it means you're shooting on a little danky rim on the outside of your house or whatever, I mean, you got to put that work in. And if you do the work now, it'll pay off in the end. And I really appreciated him talking about going from that D1 to NAIA level. You know, that NAIA, I've talked to a lot of different coaches at that level, a lot of different players, and it's competitive basketball, Seth, regardless. And, you know, you got to go the route that works best for you. And in Andre's case, choosing to go to Benedictine for that final year of eligibility and playing at the NAIA level, I mean, that's what you got to do. And for prospects, hopefully listening to this, you take what you get. You know, if you get a good offer from a good school, whether that's a D1, a D2, or an NAIA, or even a JUCO, you know, don't be selfish about it. You know, take what you can get and go with it, and don't be afraid to, you know, pull the trigger if it feels right.
Yeah, and part of what I took away from that was to be honest with yourself. Not only do you have to put in the work, but be honest about where you're at in your game. You know, if, you know, some guys hold out for those bigger offers. Sometimes they come and it pays off. Sometimes they don't, and you end up passing up opportunities that you would have had you not waited, and those go away. So always try to be honest with yourself. You know, you can learn from any situation. You know, Andre goes to Creighton, you know, his first year doesn't play a whole lot, but took a lot away from that first year. You know, the professional environment of the collegiate level of the game, you know, how the, you know, the business aspect of it, how about it, you know, it becomes more than, you know, just playing a game that you go out there on Tuesdays and Fridays and Saturdays. Mm-hmm. You know, it really becomes an all day, every day, eat, sleep, breathe, you know, your chosen passion and profession. So you've got to stay ready always. You know, be flexible in that journey. And you know, if the right opportunity presents itself, you know, sometimes you can't be afraid to take it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So that was really what I took away from that. You know, again, we want to thank Andre for his time. You know, he's certainly got plenty of work still in his career. You know, he still has high aspirations and dreams of his own. But, you know, he's gotten to one pinnacle of his sport where he's getting paid to play the game that he loves. So thank you, Andre. We wish you all the best. We'll keep an eye out for you and it, with your time this upcoming year down in Portugal.
Yeah, absolutely. So that'll wrap up this our sixth interview, Seth. We will continue going down this path. We still have a couple more guys we're going to talk to in our local legend series. And, you know, I'm looking forward to some of the names we have. Hopefully you've enjoyed hearing from guys like Ryan Mikesell and Dimitri Trice and Zarius Williams, among others. And we look forward to bringing you our next episode coming up soon.
All right, guys. Till then, take it easy.